Money FM 89.3, the best of prime time.
You're with Primetime, Bharati Jagdish and Timothy Goh with you. And this is not rocket science. For organizations to thrive in today's economy, finding and retaining the best employees is absolutely crucial, isn't it?
Yeah.
Offering a high annual salary, however, isn't the only way to compete for talent. Benefits also play a large role in employee retention.
Now, due to changing circumstances, though, exhaustion and burnout became part and parcel of life for many employees in Singapore and, in fact, worldwide. Unfortunately, tackling mental health and workforce exhaustion is low on the priority list of local companies, possibly costing them talent vital to their business.
A survey by Mercer Marsh Benefits has found that only about 66% of employers here are actually actively taking steps to address mental health challenges. That's lower than the global average of 70% and the average of 74% in Asia. The survey also showed that only 62% of employers in Singapore are taking steps to manage workforce exhaustion. This is lower than the 66% global figure and 69% that we see in Asia as a whole. Why is this? Well, Neil Niral, Mercer Marsh Benefits Leader in Singapore, joins us to tell us more. Hi, Neil.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, Neil. Better than a lot of others in Singapore who might be suffering from burnout and all sorts of exhaustion due to work. First of all, tell us why you think the numbers here are lower than the global average or even the average in Asia.
Yeah, so the numbers in Asia and in Singapore are, like, Singapore, again, is the fourth ranked overworked city in the world. A study by Kissy showed that, in fact, when you looked at overwork, the population of the world, 48 hours per week was sort of defined as what would constitute as overwork. Dubai was the top of the list, Hong Kong and Kuala Lumpur. And what we're seeing is that we live in a very instant world these days where expectations around decisions need to be made very fast. We have this culture of always being on, where we're always on our personal devices, whether it's looking at corporate email or social media. And so it is really creating that overworked feeling. Second of all, a lot of the cities have had to move to a work from home or hybrid culture virtually overnight, with the expectations that productivity levels stay the same. And individuals are having a real challenge in delineating between work life and personal life.
This overworking phenomenon that we're seeing here in this part of the world, in Singapore, in Asia, in fact, it is worn as a badge of honor in America as well, in the United States, not the entire America. So, I mean, is this something that we need to change the mindset of? They don't do this in other parts of the world, right?
Yeah, so interestingly, the same study, you know, it did show that the cities that had the best work-life balance were actually Oslo, Bern, and Helsinki. And you know, when you look at sort of what common trends that we saw from the best cities with work-life balance, one was a robust health insurance program across for social security and corporate levels. So organizations really investing in giving the right level of protection to their employees. Second was generous maternity, paternity benefits or annual leave benefits. So really taking care of employees' well-being. A great example is, like in Helsinki, employees take often a full month of paid vacation every year.
Right.
And the last was, these cities, remote working wasn't a new concept. So transitioning to work from home wasn't as much of a culture shock as it was here in Singapore.
So the question is, why do we here in Singapore look at work in this manner, where, as Tim said, you know, we wear overworking or being a workaholic as a badge of honor?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, good question. You know, why is this burnout on the rise? You know, what is spurring this? And according to our Global Talent Trend report, 85% of Singapore employees said that they were at risk of burnout in the next 12 months. And four key reasons. One, employees just not feeling rewarded sufficiently enough. You know, the amount of time and effort they're putting in, they just don't feel as though they're getting the rewards or the alignment isn't there. Second, the work from home arrangement, which I talked about, the blurring of the lines between life and work, it's really changed the pace of work. Employees finding it difficult to disconnect from work when they are working from home. Third, employees feeling uncertain about organizational changes. We know all companies had to undergo changes over the last year. And two, and last, what we call a cumulative exhaustion feeling that employees are experiencing post-pandemic. And now with the social economic situation, rising inflation, potential recession on the horizon, it's no surprise people are feeling more stressed and overworked than ever.
Mm. Of course, some employers tell me that they feel their employees only feel overworked because they are not very productive and therefore they have to work longer hours to finish actually the same amount of work that they might have been doing a few months ago. But I think that's something for organizations to discuss with their employees, which brings me back to the question that I asked at the beginning of this conversation. Why is it that when compared with other countries, employers here seem to be less active when it comes to taking steps to address mental health challenges?
Yeah, so I think, again, goes back to leadership and, you know, thinking about what are the barriers. And one of the big barriers that we see in organizations is that lack of budget and leadership really taking steps to making it a priority over other short-term competing goals. And, you know, often this is just a fact because organizations are looking for that immediate return on investment for mental health solutions. And without a strong business case, it's often a real challenge. But to really put it in context, what we see is often organizations have only started to speak about mental health openly during the wake of the pandemic. So it's still a fairly new concept emerging amongst organizations. There's still a lack of awareness, understanding of where to start, and the stigma may also be fueling some of the inaction.
And I think, Neil, to be able to address mental health concerns in the workplace, most businesses will also have to address the reality that there is a shortage of people, and therefore whoever remains in the office working will have to work twice as much, leading them to burnout, leading them to leaving, and it's a vicious cycle. So what can businesses do to stop this cycle?
Yeah, so we think what really this comes down to is that really looking beyond just the benefits programs and really thinking of a more holistic talent strategy. So beyond compensation to attract and retain talent, mm-hmm. because today employees are much more concerned about their own well-being, whether it's about medical insurance, flexible working, or even gym memberships. Our Health and Demand report actually showed that organizations that offer 10 or more benefits or a variety of benefits that's more inclusive, those individuals are less likely to leave their jobs. Second, we see employers re-looking at the entire employee value proposition. Again, speaking to the holistic comment I mentioned earlier. So really, as an example, beyond medical insurance, beyond protection, really thinking about prevention, looking at employee well-being from a mental, physical, social, even financial health perspective.
How would you define meaningful benefits? I do talk to a lot of people who say that, yeah, the HR department every now and then will unveil a whole slew of benefits, but it's not really what employees are looking for. They're just sort of ticking boxes, the HR department, that is. So how would you define meaningful benefits? How should companies go about figuring that out for their own workforces and then offering those?
Yeah, so the definition of benefits, we think, has really changed over the years, especially in the wake of the pandemic. I think traditionally benefits was typically about medical insurance and protection. And what we're seeing today is it is much more than that. It's about employee well-being. And so first step would be thinking about what is the definition of benefits mean for the organization? Does it align to the organization's philosophy? And using a two-way approach, so not just thinking about the organization's priorities, but also what are employees looking for? Thinking about the diversity of the workforce, thinking about how to make it more inclusive. So it is a multidimensional question. It's not a single, there's no silver bullet out there, but it really is about two-way communication. The last thing I'd say, benefits isn't something that can be designed at a point in time. It's something that needs to evolve with time as organizations evolve, as challenges within and risks emerge within the world, that the makeup of the benefits programs and how you're supporting your employees needs to evolve accordingly.
So what are the examples of these benefits that can be beneficial to these employees who are suffering burnout?
A great one would be around, and again, this might not even be benefits related, but it would be around just thinking about self-care. And so, you know, what we think, see is that benefits is as much an employee responsibility as it is an employer responsibility. So thinking about open communication, mm-hmm. so being transparent with managers when they're facing challenges in the workforce, whether mm-hmm. it be burnout or whether it be uncertainty about their role in an organization. Second, you know, one of the things that we are promoting is return to the office,
right?
Not just singly working from home, but really encouraging that social connection, the interactions, building that sense of belonging. People need people. We're social creatures. And so return to the office, I think, would be extremely beneficial in thinking about that mental well-being aspect.
So
the last,
go ahead,
is the work-life balance and really, you know, employees, you know, making sure that they are taking advantage of the flexibility that employers are offering them.
Neil, there's one thing that just came up to mind. In some parts of the United States, they have the so-called call-out day where you can just call your office and say you're not coming in for no reason, right? For your own personal reason. We don't have that here in Singapore. You call in sick, you need to get a doctor certificate to justify that you really cannot come into work. So is a call out there one of those benefits that will be beneficial for this part of the world, perhaps?
Potentially, but we actually think that is going to change in time. And over time, as flexible working, hybrid working becomes more of the norm, which we believe will be the case in Singapore and in Asia, organizations and employees can work together and develop their own sort of protocols, whether it makes sense for them to work from home on a day where perhaps they have calls that is going to require them to be online significantly. Maybe it does make sense to work from home, or they have a personal situation they need to attend to, but they're able to balance the work and their personal priorities. So we see actually the world in and Singapore changing as hybrid working starts to become more of the norm.
Your Mercer Marsh Benefits 2022 People Risk Report highlights other risks impacting businesses today, aside from talent practices and the things that we have talked about in terms of burnout and management as a whole. What other things should Singapore companies be looking out for?
Well, the number one risk that was highlighted was actually cybersecurity and data privacy risk. And interestingly, we qualified this as a people risk. And it was an interesting finding because when you think of cybersecurity, data privacy, naturally you wouldn't think of people risk, but we see it much as a people risk, as a technology risk as well. And it was a great study done by IBM that found that overworked and stressed employees are likely more to make mistakes. We know that 95% of cybersecurity breaches is a result of human error. So further, overworked employees are more likely to leave their organizations naturally. And a great threat to data privacy is when employees leave their organization, potentially bringing company information and data with them as they leave. So interesting finding, we saw cybersecurity, data privacy very much a people risk.
So you see, it all comes back to better talent management, doesn't it?
Yes.
Now,
it does.
Neil, finally, what would you say to companies in Singapore who say, look, we have a culture of overwork. This is something that employees will just have to learn to deal with. Most companies in Singapore are that way. What options do employees really have? And why should I pay more attention to all of these issues?
I think maybe I'll answer that a little bit slightly differently. Is I think since the pandemic, we are seeing a massive shift in mindset among Singapore employees and employers. And it's across all age groups, across all demographic profile. And we think that the emphasis on mental well-being and well-being in general needs to be prioritized. I think I mentioned at the start, we're seeing it, unfortunately, in our risk report at a lower end of the priority. But people risk is actually quite multidimensional. It's intrinsically linked with other risks. And so if you don't tackle the people risk, unfortunately, it's going to have a knock-on effect on the other risks within the organization. So we see HR managers actually working more closely with risk managers in the future and really making sure that they're taking a holistic approach in managing risks in an organization and not looking at people risk as an isolated risk.
All right. Thank you very much for your time today, Neil. Really appreciate it. Neil Nirral is Mercer Marsh Benefits Leader here in Singapore. Thanks for joining us on Primetime.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.